In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the fourth Sunday of the blessed month of Tuba. And as we said before, that all of the weeks, Sundays of Tuba are all about enlightenment and about baptism and about the testimony of St. John the Baptist, because this month marks the baptism of the Lord on the 11th, and we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany. So today, the story is about the man born blind. And in this story, we see that when the disciples saw the man at the beginning, their first impression was, because he is blind and he's suffering, then what did he do wrong? God punished him. Maybe he punished his parents. Sometimes we have this impression that every suffering comes because this is a punishment for God. But actually, this is not the case. This is not true. Not every suffering comes because this is God's punishment. Let us go and see what are the different reasons behind man's suffering. To start with, actually, suffering has been part of the normal life process since the fall. Actually, if we expect that things will go smooth in life generally, then we are mistaken. Since the fall, God said this to Eve and Adam. He said to the woman, in pain you shall bring forth children. Not only bring forth here giving birth, but also raising them up, dealing with day-to-day things with them. It will always be something that's not easy. And to the man he said, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. So when your boss is giving you a hard time, this is not suffering, this is part of the process. Sometimes people say that, I have all kinds of troubles, I'm doing this and this and this. This is not suffering actually with the meaning of suffering. This is just part of the process. This has been the case since the beginning of our existence when we fell into sin. So we cannot blame God because that we are finding some difficulties in day-to-day life. This is something we brought upon ourselves. We are here in toil, we are suffering, and this suffering will not come to an end till we depart the body. So this is one of the reasons of suffering. It has nothing to do with the punishment of us personally, but actually, as we said, this is part of the process of life. Another reason for suffering is that in some instances, it might be a way to reveal a virtue. This kind of suffering is only related to few people. It's not for everyone. It is when God wants to reveal something in a person, and we want all of us to learn it from the example. Of course, this person is going to have his own reward, but meanwhile, the only way to reveal something that is very precious in a certain person character, it is sometimes only through suffering. The story that we can learn about this kind of suffering from is the story of Abraham offering Isaac. I am sure that the night that he was given an instruction, in the morning you go and you take your son and you offer him as a sacrifice. This was a horrible night to think of. Not only he is going to lose his son, but more difficult is he has to do it himself. Who of us can comprehend something like this? But what happened? The man, he did it. He detached himself from the love of his son, his only son, in order to be obedient and submissive to God. That's why after his obedience was manifested, and the virtue of submission was completed and shown in very brightly in the man Abraham, God promised and said to him, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. For Abraham to receive the blessing, he has to go through the test. Sometimes also this is the case with us. In order to be rewarded, we have to go into the suffering time. You cannot be promoted from a year to a year in a school unless you go into the suffering of a test. In your work, you are not going to be promoted unless you will be tested and then you will be proven worthy to be promoted. So this kind of suffering is, as I said, for the elect, for those people whom God wants to show us example from their lives. Till now, we always refer to Job when it comes to patience, how this man was always perfect before God, and how he kept this perfection under the extreme circumstances of losing everything in one day. He never blasphemed against God or never spoke about him negatively. His virtue, his righteousness was shown through suffering. Suffering also might be a shield that protects our humility. Between you and me, we all know that if we are not suffering, if we are not going through hard times, our hearts might exalt and our pride might take us, and we think of ourselves as being gods. This applies on all of us. That's why St. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh, and this thorn, this suffering, was the way God wanted to shield and protect his humility. And this is exactly what he expressed to the people of Corinth when he said to them in his second epistle, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations." So this is the reason. "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." He knew God's purpose and God's will. "You will be suffering because this is the only way that I can protect you." Suffering is not always punishment. Sometimes suffering actually is a blessing. It's the way God is shielding us, lest our heart might be exalted, lest we go and astray from Him. We all know that whenever we are suffering, it is the time to turn to Him. We all know that our prayers are very sincere in the time we are suffering. We fast, we repent, we turn from our wickedness and we come to Him in the time of tribulation. We all know the blessings of suffering. This is one of the reasons sufferings are allowed. Suffering also might be permitted as a stepping stone along the way to exaltation. Saint Joseph the righteous, in the Old Testament, there was no other way for him to go to Egypt and meet with Pharaoh unless he will be hated by his brothers, and then he will be sold, and then he will go and serve, and then the woman will accuse him falsely, and then he has to go to prison and meet with the butler, and this is the only way the man will come to know Pharaoh. I want you to think about it. If Joseph would think about like a plan to go and become the second man in Egypt, he wouldn't come with something like this. There is no way. Jacob will never, for any reason, sacrifice him going to Egypt for whatever. But this is what God allowed. It is not God who made Joseph's brothers to hate him. It is not God who made the woman to lust him and accuse him falsely. No. God allowed it to happen. Here's something also we have to understand, and it becomes part of our conviction. Evil is not God's plan. But God uses even evil and allow evil, even sometimes because this is the way for a certain person to be exalted. As we read in his story in the book of Genesis, "Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined." Very bad experience, unfortunately, but this might be the only way for him to be exalted. The same applied to us as well. The same apply to us. Maybe sometimes we have to get laid off in order to find a better place that there is no way we would be searching for or thinking about unless we will have to. Many things are like this in life, and we all know about the fact, but usually after the plan is complete. We all knew that God intended something good for Joseph when all of this evil happened to him, but only when the man was exalted and raised to be the second man in Egypt. At the time of the tribulation, we think about God Where is he? Why he is not saving his people? Why bad things happen to good people? All of these questions that are raised, and sometimes it is left unanswered unjustly, because we have a reference, we know how God's work. Suffering also might be the expected consequence of an erroneous lifestyle. What do I mean by this? When the prodigal son left his house, and he went and he wasted the money of his father, and he started suffering, this is not God's punishment. When sometimes get himself hooked to alcohol, for example, and become drunk, and go and make an accident and die, God did not kill the man. This is not God's punishment. It is just a consequence that's very much expected. When a person get himself hooked to gambling and go and waste the money, and then he start to be in need, and then a foreclosure happened to his property, and then his family becomes severe, extremely devastated, this is not God's punishment. This is just a consequence. Sometimes people get themselves in trouble, and then they say, God is tempting, God is trying me. No, God is not trying you when you do this. As we hear in the Gospel of St. Luke about the prodigal son. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Who made him to be in want? Did God made him so? No. A man who goes and cheats on his wife, and she finds out, and then a problem happens, and the house is broken, and so on, so on, so. This is not God's punishment. It is just a normal conceit. If you put your hand on your fire, then your fire is going to burn your hands. Very simple. Very simple thing. Sometimes this very simple rule, it's far away from our understanding. Always everything is related to, this is God's punishment. This is God's doing so and so. Suffering also accompanies an unwise economy. Lot, he chose for himself to live among the wicked. Who made him to choose himself? He knew that the people in Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked people. They are living in profanity, but he chose to live among them. Then what happened? He lost everything. When he lost everything, then who is to be blamed for this? It is his economy. Economy, by the way, has nothing to do with money. It is how he managed his life. His management was not good. As we hear St. Peter speaking about how God delivered him, he said, and delivered righteous Lot. He was a righteous man who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Why he was oppressed? Because the righteous man made a wrong decision. This is very simple. Again, a boy get himself engaged in a relationship with a girl who is ungodly. And then he insists that I'm going to marry her. Again, it's the advice of his parents. And then he marries her and starts suffering the rest of his life. He cannot come and pity himself and say, this is God's will. As sometimes we always refer to all kinds of marriage as, this is my lot, nasibi. No, it is not. It is not my lot. It is my choice. You did not find yourself taken into the church and you found somebody in your hand and you're standing before the priest, and while you are trying to get yourself out, you cannot because this is God's will. This is all actually our imagination. This is not the case. We choose it from A to Z, and then we go ahead and say, it's God's will. It's God's lot for me. I am unfortunate. No, my brother, no, my sister. This is our economy, our management that might go wrong, and then we will suffer justly. So the question that was from the disciples to the Lord revealed that they are missing something. Sometimes we are like them. We only limit suffering into God's punishment or my unfavorable luck. That actually there's nothing called like this. We have to be fair in order to be able to love God. We do not love Him because we relate every bad thing to Him, far from being the truth. Every bad thing comes from us. Every good thing comes from Him. We are the ones who turned the good into evil, and then we go ahead and we complain against him. Let us review that some of the reasons of sufferings has nothing to do whatsoever with God's punishment. Suffering has been part of the normal life process since the fall. Some instances, it might be a way to reveal a virtue. Suffering might be a shield that protects our humility. It might be permitted as a stepping stone along the way to exaltation. Suffering might be the expected consequence of an erroneous lifestyle. It also accompanies an unwise economy. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.